Welcome to the April 1st, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and talk about the biggest stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. So Bitcoin is rising, getting closer to that long-term resistance level of $4,200. Over the weekend, Bitcoin was slowly rising above that $4,000 resistance level, actually as high as $4,100 yesterday. And then overnight, there was an anomalous trading event where Bitcoin crashed to 4,050 and then rapidly rallied to 4,140. And then now Bitcoin's at 4,110. This is the highest Bitcoin has been in a while since like February, I believe. In February, Bitcoin actually did hit around $4,200. That was in late February. So we're getting close to retesting that long-term $4,200 resistance level. Hopefully we don't get bounced back like we did in February. In late February, when Bitcoin hit near $4,200, it crashed really hard down to $3,700. So that just shows even when things are looking good, the bears can attack and the market could crash. Hopefully that doesn't happen this time. Looking at the data since early February, Bitcoin has been on a strong uptrend. This is the first time that the 30-day exponential moving average EMA of Bitcoin has been going up since November. So, seems like there's a lot of buying pressure, and things are looking optimistic. So I think this week we're going to be talking about battling that $4,200 long-term resistance level. If we break through that, we could be talking about a serious bull run for Bitcoin and the rest of the crypto space. Looking at past data, it's actually possible if Bitcoin breaks through 4,200 that it might go all the way up to 6,000. It seems like there's not much resistance between 4,200 and 6,000. But $4,200 is pretty strong resistance, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. As for the rest of the cryptocurrency market, it definitely rose as Bitcoin rose over the weekend. This morning, things are technically mixed, the 24-hour changes. Ethereum is at $142. It's up 0.2%. And that's much better than it was. It's actually about $15 billion market cap now. So compared to the bear market low, everything's a lot higher. Like, the total crypto market cap's $145 billion. That's like 45% above the bear market low. So we're definitely still in the bear market, but things have been recovering since that bear market low in mid-December. Ripple's up 0.5% this morning. EOS is down 0.5%, but it's near $4.20, $3.8 billion market cap. And that's approaching, it's starting to get near its ICO value now, finally, again. Litecoin is over $60, it's near $61, up 0.1% this morning. Litecoin has been rallying like crazy over the past few months since the bear market low. It was like $24 during the bear market low, now it's $61. Tremendous rally for Litecoin, it's been helping to lead the market upwards. EOS and Litecoin are battling for the number 4 spot on coin market cap. EOS has a $3.79 billion market cap, and Litecoin is a $3.72 billion market cap. Litecoin was actually number 4 until very recently, when EOS had like a tremendous rally. It went up like 10% or even more, like really quick, and surpassed Litecoin. But we'll see that battle unfold. Litecoin's still close enough. It's within striking range to retake that number 4 spot on coin market cap. Bitcoin Cash is like around no change in the past 24 hours, but it's near $168. Bitcoin Cash used to be below $100. So Bitcoin Cash is up a lot too since its bear market low. It's near $3 billion market cap. Binance Coin is at $18. It's up 4% actually over the past 24 hours. So Binance Coin is one of the big winners over the past 24 hours. And Binance Coin has really been rallying strongly in the past month or two because the Binance DEX is coming soon. And that's the Binance Decentralized Exchange. It has the potential to be the biggest DEX ever because Binance is such a popular exchange to begin with. So Binance Coin keeps rising because the Binance DEX is going to run on the Binance chain. And Binance Coin will be the only way to pay transaction fees on the Binance chain. And also now Binance Coin is the only thing that could be used for the Binance Launchpad, which is like an ICO platform that's very lucrative so far. Because they set it up so only 6% of the ICO supply is released. So there's like a lot of demand, but not much supply. So it's causing like a favorable conditions for pump and dumps that make lots of money. Like, I saw the stats. There's about 300% profits for people that can actually buy like the ICO coin on the Binance Launchpad right when it's sold in the ICO. But keep in mind, the ICO only lasts like a minute usually. So it's very hard to get it, even if you can click really fast. And now they made it so there's like a lottery, where you might be able to participate in the ICO if you have like 100 Binance coins, which is like $1,800 now. So Binance coins in high demand to participate in the Binance Launchpad and in the future Binance DEX. Stellar is up 0.8%. Cardano down 2%. So it's like a mixed morning on the crypto markets in the past 24 hours technically. But overall, everything's up a lot because Bitcoin finally got through that $4,000 resistance levels. Now it's approaching $4,200. Bitcoin SV up 0.3%, says $65. Bitcoin SV has not really been doing that good ever since its launch. Like, it was actually over $100 around the time it launched. So a lot of the major cryptocurrencies have been moving upwards since the bear market low. Bitcoin SV is not one of them. It's kind of just staying down there. It's hanging back at number 12 on CoinMarketCap, just over $1 billion market cap. Dash is the big winner of today. It's up 8.3% in the past 24 hours. If you look at the weekly gains for Dash, it's just like straight up. Dash is actually getting close to moving above a $1 billion market cap. It's ranked number 13 on CoinMarketCap. It's right there at $0.981 billion. It might go over a $1 billion market cap again. It's worth $112 now. Actually, almost $113. So that's a pretty big deal to see Dash over $100 again just to begin with. So Dash is rallying strongly. Dash is one of the top stealth cryptocurrencies. It uses masternode technology, which means when you send a transaction with Dash, it gets mixed around through masternodes. And it's very popular in Venezuela, apparently, and also around the whole world. It's one of the best cryptocurrency protocols there is. Monero is up 7%. So Monero's at $57. And it's actually approaching a $1 billion market cap as well. Monero's at $0.971 billion market cap. So Dash and Monero rallying strong. This is a really positive day for these stealth cryptocurrencies. Monero's like the king of the stealth cryptocurrencies. They're rising strongly. IOTA, the number one directed acyclic graph cryptocurrency, is up 2.9%. And then going down the list of Dogecoin, up. Wow! It just spiked right now. It's up 9.2%. $270 million market cap, so I didn't expect that. Dogecoin's like rallying literally right now, and that might be a good sign for us. So Dogecoin's not the biggest cryptocurrency ever, but I would call it a major cryptocurrency. When you see a major cryptocurrency spiking like this, now it's up 11.2%. I just refreshed the page. So we're seeing a major Dogecoin rally. Now it's a $275 million market cap. Sometimes when you see a major rally like this in one of the smaller cryptos, it could be a sign that the rest of the market's about to rally, because that's pretty serious. 11.2% rally for Dogecoin. Much wow. Such excite. All right, moving on to the first interesting story of the day. So BitThumb is a exchange in South Korea that is known for getting hacked, pretty much. Like, I've seen many stories about BitThumb getting hacked over the last year or so. And it's been hacked again. $15 million of EOS was stolen from BitThumb. So someone created an account at like 10 a.m. in the morning. By 11 p.m. they were withdrawing 3.132 million EOS. So this has caused BitThumb to like halt all the withdrawals and deposits. It is unknown at this time if this $15 million being stolen was enough to make the exchange insolvent. It's possible, I guess. But anyways, customers cannot get their funds out of the exchange anymore on BitThumb. And I've also read some stories in the past regarding BitThumb and other Korean exchanges. Apparently, North Korea has, like, the top hacking group in the world. I think it was the Lazarus Group, maybe. Well, anyways, North Korea has been accused in multiple reports of, like, stealing from South Korean cryptocurrency exchanges because North Korea has great use for cryptocurrency, and also they need money. But cryptocurrency especially because it could be sent anywhere in the world regardless of, like, laws, kind of. So it's possible this is another case of North Korea hacking South Korea, but I don't want to go too far and speculate that. There's no information regarding that, but it's very suspicious that BitThumb has been hacked again in a big way. In June 2018, less than a year ago, BitThumb was actually hacked for $31 million. And I'm actually seeing an update to this story. Not only did BitThumb lose that 3 million EOS, they lost 20 million Ripple worth $6 million. So in total, this hack is actually about $19 million, maybe more. So yeah, this is a pretty serious hack at BitThumb, less than a year after another serious hack. So we'll see how this progresses. Moving on to the next story of the day. So Mark Karpeles is actually fighting the light sentence that he got in Japanese courts. People expected Mark Karpeles to get like a severe sentence for his involvement in Mt. Gox. He was the CEO of Mt. Gox, which collapsed in epic fashion. They lost like 850,000 Bitcoins. It rocked the entire Bitcoin world. It was like the biggest Bitcoin exchange, and then so basically most of the people that were using like Bitcoin exchanges at all, because they were using Mt. Gox, they lost their Bitcoins. there's a civil rehabilitation process going on now because they found, quote-unquote, 200,000 Bitcoins after in, like, a wallet they didn't know about, and they're distributing that to Mt. Gox users eventually. But anyways, people on the internet were calling for Mark Karpeles to basically get hung, like, get the worst sentence ever. Well, anyways, he got, like, 33 months of probation, basically. And he's fighting that. So, they didn't accuse him of stealing or laundering, but they did accuse him of manipulating data to make it appear the Mt. Gox wasn't hacked. There's basically two tales to the Mt. Gox saga. One, from the internet, is that Mark Karpeles, like, stole everything. Number two is that Mt. Gox was hacked. Mark Karpeles covered it up to keep the exchange running so that if the exchange could run long enough, it could make its money back. And, basically no one would ever have to know and everything would be fine. So the Japanese courts went with that one, and they think Mark Karpeles covered up, like, the information about the hack. Like, he told users they stole their full balances and manipulated the data to make it look like that. And then there was eventually a run on Mt. Gox and Mt. Gox collapsed. So for data manipulation, he got 33 months suspended sentence, which means he's not going to jail as long as he doesn't do any other crimes, pretty much. But he doesn't even want that. He's fighting that, and he's getting his lawyers to try to get rid of that 33 months of probation, basically. Personally, I think Mark Karpeles got, like, a really light sentence considering the whole case and all the people that are going against him, and he should probably leave that case alone instead of, like, reopening it just to, like, I guess it's technically not reopening it, but he's making the same prosecutors and the same judge work on the case again. I think that's, like, a little dangerous, I guess. Because he got off pretty good. He just has to, like, sit around and be a good person for, like, 33 months. Alright, moving on to the next story. So let's talk about Justin's son from Tron. So Tron is one of the major cryptocurrencies. It's like an Ethereum competitor. And Justin's son's kind of like the king of this cryptocurrency. So there's two stories this morning. So first is that Tron is trying to prohibit gambling dApps. So since Tron is, like, an Ethereum competitor, it has dApps and smart contracts, and usually dApps on, like, even Ethereum and EOS and Tron, like, most of it's gambling, most of the top dApps. And so the Tron Foundation issued a statement saying that they don't want people to build dApps focused on the Japanese market that are for gambling. Well, here's the thing about dApp, decentralized app. It's decentralized, so you really can't do that. The whole point of, one of the main points of this blockchain technology is that, you know, you can't have the government shut down a dApp and people can do whatever they want with a dApp. Well, Tron is trying to intervene here and say, no one build a gambling app for the Japanese market. And they could say that all they want, and unless Tron is not decentralized like it claims to be, then developers can develop gambling dApps aimed at the Japanese market. So I think it's a little odd that they would even try to say something so centralized, like saying, oh, don't do this. First off, because they have, like, no control of that sort of thing. Second off, because they should be, like, embracing a decentralized spirit and not declaring such things. And now we're going to move into an even juicier story about Justin Tron. So on Twitter, he was saying, I'm giving away a Tesla and $20 million. And so someone in Washington, D.C. won. Apparently, there was a video of a random selection process where Justin's son randomly selected this user. It was UZ Garof from Twitter. It was on Twitter. So basically, he posted on his Twitter thread saying, yeah, put me in this raffle. And it was a free raffle. Like, he said, he's giving away a Tesla and $20 million. So first, he was starting with the Tesla. So someone in America won the Tesla. And then he said, oh, there was a glitch in the selection process. That person's not going to win anything. And the internet went totally crazy. So, he said, oh, I'm gonna give that person a ticket to the Tron conference. I'm pretty sure that person that got burned from winning the Tesla would not want to go to the Tron conference after, you know, Justin's son said he won that Tesla, like, to the whole internet, and then he took it back. So, like, it's pretty embarrassing and awful, so. And then Justin's son eventually relented and said, oh, I'm gonna give away that Tesla to that guy anyways. And then he chose some guy in Vietnam. So, the person he chose in America to be the winner of the raffle from a random selection process, apparently it wasn't a random selection, according to him, and he had to redo it. And then he chose someone in Vietnam. So, anyways, supposedly he's going to give away $20 million in cash on Twitter. And we'll see if that actually happens. It's been a while since he started this contest, and apparently the first part of the contest with the Tesla didn't go well. There's also more history to giveaways from Justin Sun and the Tron Foundation. There was a Tron Accelerator Hackathon where the top 56 teams were promised cash awards totaling $1 million. And then they ended up getting way less than that. They ended up getting like $10,000 of Tether. Well, these stories don't really have anything to do with Tron as a cryptocurrency, but I guess beware of Tron, like, giveaways and prizes, because the history's not looking so good so far. Moving on to the next story of the day. So there's this ICO that happened in Canada. It's called VanBex, and they sold the Fuel token, and it was supposed to be used on EtherParty. They raised about 30 million Canadian dollars, which is like 22 million US dollars. And then the people behind this ICO went totally crazy with money. They bought like two condos, one in Vancouver and another in Toronto for $3 million each. They bought two Land Rovers. They leased a Lamborghini for $375,000 for 3 years. It's like, why don't they just buy the Lamborghini? But anyway, so they got the Lambo. They got two condos on like in different provinces. They got two Land Rovers beyond that. And the judge, like, froze their condos, basically. And they froze their personal accounts, which contained, like, $1 million each. And they said, don't damage your condo or sell it or borrow against it for the next 30 days. So it looks like the Canadian government's coming down on VanBex because the people that bought this Fuel token got nothing out of it. So this is just another chapter and the boom and bust of the ICO era. Alright, so that's all we have for you today on this April 1st, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode and go to Crypto.IQ for the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. Also join the Crypto.IQ trading desk. They have made 314% profits since July, even in the worst of the bear market. And if you join the trading desk, you could see their trades in real time with a full trade analysis with each trade. And you can ask them as many questions as you want in real time. And there's a 2-week free trial when you join, so there's no risk to join, and it's the best way to become a top cryptocurrency trader. So, join that Crypto.IQ trading desk today. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.